Check it out. Right now, you're rocking with the best, Jay Sinai, and I'm tuned into the Hip Hop Digest show. Yo, check them out.
Peace.
African colors. Subtle.
Tony Gray is pulling 24% now. You need new colors and a new message, Clarence. You need to rally the base.
You want me to start wearing dashikis? Go all Marion Barry and shit?
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And it's E Green over here too. But it's not just us. Ooh. We got a dude who be cooking out in these streets.
Oh shit, I heard you about his books too.
You know what I'm saying? The world famous cookbook.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
I can't do that pun, homie. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a big guy. I'm a little guy, boy. I still try to crush a lot, but not.
I crush as much as I can.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. That's what's up. Your cookbook.
What's up, y'all?
Yo, welcome to the show, Cookbook. You're a family member. It's glad to have you on. You know what? Before we get too deep,
You know what it is.
Been a minute.
All right. Your personal top three MCs and the first piece of music you ever bought with your own money. You know what time it is.
I know what time it is. Number one, it's probably always going to be number one, is my man Nas.
Okay.
Ooh. All right.
All-time favorite album, Illmatic. That don't change. Number two, I'm going to go with my man Andre 3000. Still classic.
You off that flute,
Mr. Stacks?
three stacks, man. Even though he started playing flutes and shit, man. Them bars from way back in the day, they still
those
hit.
Bars, man. Still carry.
They still carry over, man. And when I listen to the flutes, I just imagine his voice rapping somewhere in there. Man. This time I'm gonna throw a curveball in for you guys. A underground West Coast dude that really influenced me when I was a little kid, and that's a dude named Micah 9. I don't know. If
Micah 9. Yes.
Shit. Hey,
we some old niggas over here. We know.
Shit, man.
We know about him.
The Hip Hop Digest show, man.
Set it up.
Damn.
And then the very first piece of hip hop music. I didn't buy it with my own money. My mom bought it for me. I begged her. Please, mom, buy me this cassette tape. Please, mom, buy me the Fat Boys Are Back.
Oh, shit.
The Fat Boys album, yo.
Wow.
Yep. I was very young, but I loved hip hop. I had a little orange round radio that played only AM radio, and I would listen to K-Day, 1580 K-Day, all day, every day, bro. I got that radio when I was like 5 years old, and that's all I listened to was K-Day.
Hmm. You was ready for hip-hop.
Hell yeah, man. Let's go.
All right. Wow. That's what's up. That is what's up. All right. So we back in the digest with the guest this time, and we're going to do a little different. We do got some regular hip-hop topics, but we're going to do first topic on the hip-hop digest is election season, the prelims, if you will. And me and Swerve was having a conversation about the Florida, one particular Florida election, where our boy, you know, Sir Luke, like people like call him Uncle Luke. Some people like to call him Luther Campbell. You know, it depends on where, how, when you checked in or whatever. Luke Skywalker, whatever, you know what I'm saying? He was running for a Democratic seat in Florida, which actually I didn't know this. As I was trying to look up the election results or whatever, it was about like four or five other African Americans who was running.
Including him,
against Debbie Wasserman Schultz. But of course, she's a well-known name anyway, so I don't think any of those African Americans was going to beat her, to be honest with you. But Swerve, you had some very negative things to say about Luther Campbell.
All right, well, let me get him under this bus first.
Oh, you all under. You in it. Yeah. The wheel well is all over you.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah, because you just threw me out there.
Hold on. Okay, then let me, I'll do a live real-time reaction. Did not either get a text or a phone call from you with a picture of Luther Campbell with Benjamin Crump, and you went in on them niggas?
Yes, I absolutely did. Okay. However,
now you're stuck to the third rail.
Okay.
Well, that's not the point. I'm about to get up off of there because okay. I guess I got on rubber boots or something. I don't know. But when I sent you that, I prefaced it in that text saying, "Luke gonna lose."
And you did say that, right? You did say that, no doubt.
So, you know, I'm just trying to differentiate throwing under the bus and making a statement.
Okay? Well, the floor is yours.
All right. So when I knew Luke was running before that episode with him and that lawyer, Luke was on, first of all, he was on asking for money from rappers and people he's helped and all that kind of stuff. So that showed me a problem. That showed me that there was going to be a problem. That he's having to ask for money from people that he's helped become famous and successful. Okay, that's number one. Then he got into a argument about that they should not vote for, they should vote for a black person who has done things for this community, this, that, and the other. Right? Okay. Then we saw that guy who called himself Black America's Attorney General.
Which I agree was ignorant. I agreed with that statement.
Well, and Luke actually didn't even speak in that video. It was just that guy sitting there talking what he was talking about. And I didn't say anything before the other two things, but when I saw that one, that's when I sent you the text. I was like, yo, your man's going to get beat. He's going to get swarmed. But I didn't even know, because I'm not in Florida. I mean, I do care about elections, but I'm not in Florida. So I didn't understand the whole who was in it, and this, that, and the other. But there were, again, three other African-Americans vying for that spot. And I don't know, you might not have known this, but they were talking about combining and just have put all their efforts into one of those candidates to go against the
Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Yes.
But just like we have talked about here before in the hip hop industry, like, damn, we got all this. Why can't we just combine our resources? Because nobody wanted to step down and be the second and third or fourth fiddle. So they all kept running. And what do you call that, B? Splitting the vote.
Of course.
And she washed them, to use her name a little bit. She washed them. But back to Luke, it was apparent to me, look, respect to him for everything he's done as far as free speech. Okay? Respect to him for that. But the way he went about his campaign, and he had already lost another campaign for some other stuff he tried to run for there, I just didn't think it was a good look with what was happening. So, I say this now, if that's throwing him under the bus, then or whatever, then I did that. But that wasn't my intent. My intent was to say, he's going about this the wrong way, and he's going to lose.
Okay.
And that is what happened.
Okay, so you gave a critique of Luther Campbell. You know, I tend to look at a guy like Luther who does an awful lot of community work, and he does an awful lot of community work, but he's not a politician, and he's never going to be a politician despite the community work that he's done, because I don't think that Luke has ever, although he does have bona fide, you know, freedom of speech, Supreme Court, you know, that's bona fide. You can't take that away from him. But I don't think he's going to never be a guy who's going to be able to reach, when I mean across the aisle, he don't have to be Obama, but Obama-esque, or any other politician who, you know, who's the kid in New York? What's the kid's name Mondami? In New York? Yeah, Mondami. You know, who can, you know what I'm saying, reach a multitude of different peoples. I don't think Luke will ever have that type of reach. But shout to Luke for running. I agree with you. I didn't think he would win. I didn't know he was running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is a Democratic staple. And more importantly, I didn't think he was running against with four other African Americans. Luke, better,
three other,
better to stay local. I'm talking about county council or you know, county, you know, city council, things of that nature. Better for him to stay local.
But I think he ran for something like that a little while back and lost that too.
Well, yeah, it looks like, man, maybe politics ain't the game.
Damn, he can't even be the comptroller.
Well, that's a sad, we also talked about some other things, including that, and me saying that he's going to have a party with strippers to have a voter registration. I think I, the last I looked, he had won like 8% of the vote, which in elections,
that's nothing. Yeah, right? That's nothing.
But, yeah. You know, so the people, even outside of the people that he was looking for help from, a la Spike Lee, a la Red Fox and other African Americans who have done big things but couldn't get help, a la. But not only that, but the voters didn't show up for him. So if I were Luke, that would be an absolute sign to me. I wouldn't need a third attempt at some office for me to be like, you know what? I didn't. And it's sad that it has to come to that for all of those reasons.
I think he's
including the one you said.
I think he's a community guy, though, and I think that it's funny. Cookbook was clowning on that comptroller thing, but if you run for those type of offices, yeah. If you run for like comptroller or, you know, some type of person who's going to oversee the budget or something low level, he might win that with 8,000 votes.
But I don't disagree. Yeah, I was joking, but I don't disagree with that. Like, a lot of times you really do have to start locally. A lot of dudes just like, I'm about to go be governor. And like, come on, man. Like, you know, they don't know you like that, Luke.
Right.
Y'all are making sense, but Luke's fan club is not going to get him elected to nothing.
But his fan club is not just in Miami. That's the thing. So
the voting was in Miami. And the people outside of Miami didn't participate at all as far as contributions and shit like that.
Well, that part he was tripping. If he ever thought that was going to happen. People going to give up bread.
Well, he's got a lot of people in the NFL that he helped get to the NFL.
It is a lot of people that he helped get to the NFL. But
music industry.
When you start talking about people's money, shit gets funny. No, nobody want to give up no damn money. You can sit here and talk all happy shit, but during the times they start spreading some money out, niggas start clamming up. Started reaching for their pockets, patting them down. Like, oh man, damn, man, I left my wallet at the house.
Well, it's very unfortunate. The whole thing is unfortunate to me, the whole thing. Because I believe that he probably, even at that first thing that he tried to run for, that he would make some kind of a difference. It would have definitely been difficult for him to get this seat that he's trying to get now. But I think his heart was in the right place, and maybe even his mind. But politics is an ugly game, yo.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And it's ugly. So to me, it's like you know the game is ugly, but yet you want to try to get in there because you're not going to change the game. Once you get in there, that means you're going to have to be ugly too.
Or they'll bring out something ugly about you.
Oh, well, they ain't got to bring it out. That's easy to find.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
One of them scrippers got a story.
One,
at least one.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, let's not hope that is the case. But he don't have to worry about that. But anyway, he lost in the primary, so that's it for him. He's, you know, that he's finished on that level. But I do hope that he continues his activism within the community that he's so proud of and should be. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people don't even do what he's done. You know, so
we're all these cats running around saying whatever they want to say on a record. They need to look up to him.
Oh, no doubt.
At the very least.
No doubt. Very true. No doubt. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. I haven't put out an episode of Chicken Shit in a long time.
You sure haven't. There's plenty.
And there's plenty of people.
There's plenty of shit to talk about.
Yeah, there's plenty of people, you know. I was debating, you know, back when Nicki Minaj was doing all that flirting with Trump, having the first woman on Chicken Shit, but she fell by the wayside and this, that, and the third. But I tell you what, I've been really considering strongly, and I just wanted to get the family's perspective. Stephen A. Smith the next cover of Chicken Shit.
Goodness, damn, man. You gonna take that low-hanging fruit, B?
B, you think it's low-hanging?
You gonna let speech live? Riding, hanging on a piece of meat? You gonna let that slide? For what we know what Stephen A. is, B.
So I can answer the speech, because speech was local. He was trying to curry favor with a very paid rapper, talking about moving to Canada, he was doing a whole type of what Kurt G was, the new category Kurt G minted, was quite lovely last show. You know what I'm saying? He was doing a lot of glazing, you know what I mean? You know, but he's local. You know, Stephen A. Smith, you know, this, B, is that really low hanging fruit? Considering, considering on the one hand, he wanna play Super Soul Brother, but then on the other hand, run over to Hannity and them niggas and looking like a gigantic ass lapdog.
And how many niggas is still tuning in to First Take in the morning?
I don't know. I don't know his ratings.
Lots.
I don't know.
Lots.
Okay.
How many NBA cats is still strolling up to him with his pimp walk, dapping him up?
Well, B, then thank you for making the case for me. That's the even better reason why that Stephen A. Smith need to be on the cover of Chicken Shit. I'm considering it.
I gotta stop you. What needs to happen with Stephen A. is people just unsubscribe, unfollow. That is what needs to happen to Stephen A.
You're trying to cancel Stephen A.
I'm not saying cancel him, because he is who he is, B. He is who he is.
Okay, let me ask you a quick synopsis. Swervin' Green, what do you think about Stephen A? Somebody, because like, and do the same diligence. Like, I know what you think about Ben Crump, but we ain't talking about him. Yeah. What do you think about Stephen A?
I think he's loud, obnoxious, bombastic. What is the fucking word?
You just said it.
I think he is self-centered. I think he probably does the little things he does in the black community to try to erase the stuff that he, like, run into Fox instead of another platform. I don't particularly care for the dude, but he doesn't matter. He doesn't matter to me. He's not a factor in my life.
Kurt G, what do you think about Stephen A. Smith? Cookbook, you up next.
All right.
All right. So Stephen A., I think he's entertaining. He's loud in all the words that you said he was, but I think he's entertaining for what he does. But also, since we were talking about politics earlier and Mr. Luke, he's doing the anti-Luke shit. See, when Luke built up his reputation and everything that he was on one side of the aisle being built up. See, what this guy's doing, he's building himself up on both sides of the aisle. So he's going to get the redneck vote because they know him from Mr. ESPN. He's going to get you said how many niggas go up and dap him up? He's going to get the votes from them because they know him from that. So he's playing that middle ground, and he'll get more votes than Mr. Luke did.
All right, Cookbook.
And that ain't going to mean nothing.
Cookbook.
Go ahead, Cook.
B, hold up, Cookbook. What do you think about a personal opinion, Stephen A.?
Okay, so first of all, I'm not a big sports guy, right? So I don't be watching this show, you know. The most I catch is like clips here and there on Instagram or whatever. So the impression I have of him, I don't really like him. You know what I mean? He's kind of annoying to me, like the way he be talking and stuff. So I think I kind of tune him out, if I'm being dead honest.
Okay.
I have heard that he wants to run for president and stuff like that. And hey, more power to him, man. Good luck. I don't think he's going to win.
Nah,
by any stretch.
Definitely not gonna win.
But I really don't, I am being dead ass with y'all, I don't really know like a lot about him because I just don't be checking for him. I know he's the sports dude.
Okay.
I know he's trying to run for president.
That's fair.
I don't like, from what I see of the clips, he seems kind of annoying to me.
Okay, that's fair. And
Let me add this to my, I want to say dislike, for lack of a better word.
Alright.
He is trying to be what Stuart Scott did naturally.
Oh,
Stuart Scott was beloved.
I don't think he's trying to do that.
Nah.
He's not
really?
No.
Because Stewart was natural with his shit. Like you said, he was naturally beloved. This guy is naturally hated. He's naturally hated. And I don't see love for him. I see people that tolerate him. I see people like myself who find him entertaining. But I don't see nobody that really loves the nigga. There's a lot of people that don't like him, period.
Yep.
Ain't nobody.
That's my point. He's trying to, I'll even say, be a better Stuart Scott. I said trying now, but he can't. No one can be what Stuart Scott was to sports reporting. Nobody. He did it the best, and he did it genuinely, organically, and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Even it comes across that kid who didn't score 35 a game, bench riding, and now you got the pen, so you get to tell the story.
Okay, that's real. I I'm strongly considering, because of the moves that he's made and the things and the events that he's been involved in, I'm just like, yo, this is the wrong, everything about him wrong. Everything about him wrong. And maybe that's what he got to do to make his bread, but whatever. I think the chicken shit cover is perfect for a guy like that. But I was just considering. And
hey,
just
B, you run the shit, and I'm just saying, that's your lane. If you think that he should be on there, then put him on there.
Again,
I'm not going to lose a bit of sleep, I promise you.
That's what's up, no doubt. That's what's up. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. And I had to pull it up because you mentioned it. That Complex again with another list. And the thing about Complex, let's get this out of the way first. The list that Complex pulls up shows you they know nothing about hip hop.
What is the list? Tell them what the list is.
The list.
100 what?
Yeah, it says the best 100 hip hop beats of all time.
There you go.
Okay, so
there's a lot of hip hop beats.
Yeah, but this is a key thing here. So I think the term beat has really changed throughout the decades. And Complex doesn't have the gravitas, I think, to really address beats. Okay, because what I want to do is I'll take number one. And the reason why this record that they put on number one is because that's it for them. This is the starting point, which was The Message, Grandmaster Flash, and The Furious Five. Now, at least I'll give them this. They did put Melly Mel / Duke Booty, who actually...
You mean they got that part right?
Well, kinda. Because the reality is that Duke Booty was in the lab. He probably did a lot of instrument playing. But the owner of the label, Sylvia, actually produced that record. Okay, let's not get it fucked up. Sylvia Robinson actually produced the record. Okay, Melly Mel on the record doing previous written rhymes. Okay, but we're talking about beats. Okay, so they're starting at that because that's where they start. I wouldn't have been surprised. You could, to me, interchange this because we're talking about Complex. You can interchange that with this or fucking Rapper's Delight as far as Complex is concerned. Makes no difference to them. All right. So I'm not going to go through pretty much. I'll just run through the quick top 10. Number two was Shook Ones, Mobb Deep. At number three, Dre, Dr. Dre. Number four, Cream, Wu-Tang. And at number five is They Reminisce Over You, Pete Rock of CL. Number six, A Paid in Full Remix, Eric B. and Rakim. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number seven, Audio 2 Top Billing. All right. As we keep going. Yeah. Okay. As we keep going. At number eight, Grinding from the Clips.
Okay.
All right.
Not bad.
All right.
Not bad.
At number nine, New York State of Mind. Nas. Okay. Okay. And at number 10, and in Dr. Dre, nothing but a G thing, Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre.
Dre got two.
See? Okay. Okay.
Wait a goddamn minute. Ain't no mustard on a beat.
No. Mustard probably made that 100. I bet you did.
Yeah. Mustard, I'm sure, probably has three or four on that top 100. But I'm not worried about
that top 10, though, B. I can't be mad at that.
That top 10, I could.
That top 10's bullshit.
six out of the 10, I'm not mad at, but it's, they shouldn't be top 10, all of them. Shook Ones definitely deserve to be in that fucking list for me.
Oh,
that,
for sure.
That beat was absolutely.
They reminisce over you.
Yes. Sure. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, absolutely. I don't
see,
know.
You can't, you old niggas, you just can't be satisfied with nothing.
Nah, you're right.
There's a few Molly Mall beats. That's a few Molly Mall beats that could have made that list.
See. All right. See, now you're starting to get into my lane.
Steppin' should have been in there. Fuck the dumb shit.
Now you're starting to get into my lane. When you do a top 100 beats and it shows, and the critique is, this really about Complex. It's not about the artists that are on the top 10. It's about Complex. And so when you're doing the top 100 beats and you don't have a gravitas, and you really don't have gravitas of history. So I'm thinking, okay, you may want to start with a Grandmaster Flash and Furious 5 because you don't know any better. But I'm thinking to myself, you don't have any fucking Mantronics. Mm. You don't have Fresh is the Word, or you don't have, you know, Cole Getting Dumb from Just Ice. I mean, get the fuck out of here. Arthur Baker, whose Planet Rock production spawned a whole, and I mean a whole culture that came from Miami and everything in it, including Jive Rhythm tracks and everything else related to it. We're talking about beats here. We're talking about the actual beats. The top 10 are great records. No one's disputing that. But the whole history of hip hop,
Ward, I think you're being a little hard on the Beaver.
Yeah. Let me just say something, man. Right now, to my ears, you sound a mad old man.
I am. I am.
And also, you're getting a little too into, like, the minutiae. Like you got to think, when you talk about, like, the greatest all-time hip-hop beats, 99% of people, I'm not saying you're wrong. You're laying down, like, history. But 99% of people are not going to think of Mantronics, or even, I don't even think of some of those ones you just said, like Just Ice, I think you said.
Yeah.
That don't even hit me, bro. And I'm not, you're not wrong. I'm saying I can understand why you start seeing like G Thing in there, or, you know what I mean? Because those had a more like, it hit broader. Like, it feels like there's no, like, Shook Ones, there's no disputing that. Like, our era, older dudes, younger dudes are still rapping over that beat, like, doing freestyles and stuff. Like, that beat probably should have been number one, in my opinion. Like, if we're talking about, like, hip-hop beats, because it's dope beat, and it's also, like, how hard it hit. Like, like throwing a rock in the water, those ripples are still going out after all these years. But the beat you talking about, they don't really do that. No disrespect to you. You're not wrong. I'm just saying, well, I think that's why you get a list like that from Complex.
Then let's do this. Then, well, like I said, I'm trying to clean it up, because I said this is really more about Complex than the people on the top
10. Yeah, I get that. Yep.
Because to me, if you're going to do something like that, you have to break down lazy journalism from places like Complex. To me, continue to ignorance, and the reason why we fucked up now. Not that any of the top 10 is fucked up, because they not. I don't have an argument with people on the list on the top 10. But yeah. But if you don't do the era, if you don't do from 78, you know what I'm saying, maybe to the mid 80s, then you fucked up.
You.
Because you're just excluding.
Yeah. Right, where they fucked up with that is they said of all time.
Yeah,
so all time means from the beginning of hip-hop
to
now.
And they're just grabbing the low-hanging fruit.
Like, right.
Well, let me... Dre,
because, and like I said, but hold up, Swerve, and Kerr G, I don't want to gloss over what you're saying. You know, Molly Maul, and the reason why you got to include Molly Maul, I don't care if you put Molly Scratch in there, or Pickin' Boogers, or I don't give a fuck what it is, Dimples D, is that Molly Maul created modern day, you know, drum kits.
100%.
He created 1,000%. That. 1,000%. So you have to educate the younger people. Who, but you're right. These beats not gonna hit with them. I get that.
But you're talking about producers now, and like the history of like what Marley Marl did is undisputed. But if you're gonna pick a beat, then just Pick ain't no half stepping, bro. That's, I mean, that's
just the best one, man. All right, but look, I got to throw some bail money out there.
Okay.
For who? For who? So,
for this article.
For Complex.
I'm going to say for the article.
You're bailing the article, not Complex.
The article.
Not the whole.
Let me be clear. This is bail money for the article. You read off the top 10. And we, just on that face alone, the top 10, we're like, okay, even Kurt said, I'll give him 6 out of that 10, right?
Right.
But there's 100, right? Now, if you go down that list, and I haven't yet, but you get to like 75 and you see Marley Mall or Picking Boogers or whatever you said down there, you're still going to be mad because how is Picking Boogers way down here, but he's still over Mustard on a Beat? Or Beethoven, whatever the fuck. It's still over that. So I'm going to have to see the entirety of that list. But I am still, just for the fact that that top 10 you read off, I'm going to shoot him a few dollars bail money. Just a few dollars.
Okay. All right, B.
You know what's surprising? Not like us didn't make that top 10.
There you go.
I was surprised.
There you go.
Which one? Which song?
Not like us. Because as big and as impactful as that beat was for a whole year.
And the beat, and look, and Not Like Us, the beat was fire. I'm not even saying that. I'm scrolling through the list, and I'm going to stay with the name Marley Mall. Right now, I'm at 30, and I don't even see Marley.
Ooh.
Okay.
See, that's a problem.
All right.
I said a little bit of bail money. The bridge ain't on there.
I'm scrolling through, and I'm not seeing. And I don't think he's gonna have in the top like beat. And we're talking about beats. We're not talking about the end. Actually, it's right. You do start to leak in and talking about the producer, but we're talking about beats. And
yes.
And I know, and shout the cookbook and no half stepping, but I'm thinking, like you said, I don't, Molly Scratch or the bridge,
the symphony, or
Have a Nice Day from Shantae. I'm just,
hold on.
He did make it. He did make it.
Did he?
What is it?
So correct me if
who
I'm
got
wrong.
Didn't
he produce that first Rakim album? Paid the Fool.
Good. Yes, you're right. He did.
He did make that.
He did.
He did produce that whole. I mean, people think Eric B did it,
but
was all Marley Marl.
Yeah.
The article
probably doesn't say that.
Right.
I'm gonna go to that.
What's the criteria? Is it just it's just a blanket 100 best hip hop beats of all time?
See, for Complex, it should have been titled the top 100 records.
Bam.
Because Complex is not going to do real journalism.
Right.
Here. Well,
the top 100 records that make us sound good at swanky New York parties when we show them the article we wrote.
Ain't that the truth though?
At Trinity Hipster parties. I'm not even exaggerating because I feel like Complex, they don't really be writing for people like us.
They write for the people at the white parties.
I mean, you said it. That's basically what I was getting at. But I see like the gentrified Brooklyn people walking around talking about, oh, did you read Complex? That's who they're writing for. So of course they're going. They're not gonna put no Mantronics in there.
Like, who is that? Know.
They don't know. They don't know about this here. Don't listen to what Complex say.
So you think they did it for a playlist to get spins in their playlist?
Sure, man. I bet you all that is 100. Them 100 songs are on the playlist on Complex website.
Yeah, I wouldn't
and
doubt it.
Probably ain't a bad playlist to listen to. I'm just saying, for what we talking about, we probably, maybe we expected too much, even of the article. Less Complex overall. Yes.
Okay, let me.
And yet, still, we got a couple of good records on that top 10.
It's funny. You're right. Molly did produce the album, but it does say Eric B and Paid in Full Remix, which actually was produced by UK Cats, Cold Cut.
Okay.
Oh, the remix.
Yes, the remix.
So they didn't even give Molly the credit for that.
Nah.
But the remix was better, man. Let's just be honest.
All right, that's stop or you get sued.
It's way better, bro.
So yeah, so really, like I said, it's not so much the top 10 that I got an issue with. I really got with poor journalism with from Complex, and they do that all the time. The poorest of journalism.
Yeah, they get no bail money for that. They're guilty.
So. Yeah, as you throw through the list, like I said, it's typical, you know, like you said, it's the way Cookbook described is excellent. It's typical, you know, there's names in there that you would be like, oh, really? You got to be kidding me. You know what I mean? But
name one. Just curious.
Okay. All right. Future 2015 March Madness. Ooh. I don't even know what that shit sound like.
Never heard it.
They ain't got Mask Off in there?
That's what I was going to say. If you're going to put a Future song, it's got to be Mask Off. That beat is maybe the best thing he ever was involved in.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, wow. There you go. There you go. Wow. And again, some surprising things, some really underground surprising things. Or whatever, at 72, is Camp Lo Lucini.
That beat should have been top 10 to me. If I was putting out my top 10, that'd be up in there.
Yeah, if it's a real hip hop list,
that would have been in there for me. My personal, that would have been in there, top 10 easily.
Yeah,
Lucini, come on, man.
Yeah,
it's very interesting to me. This sounds like a very interesting list, and I'm definitely, yeah, I sent y'all the article, and then I didn't do the homework, so I'm going to look through it and hit you guys later on what maybe I think about that.
And to be sure, as you scroll through the 100, and it's records that you haven't listened to in a long time, but the beats, forget about the overall artists, but the beats are absolutely... You're absolutely on fire, yo. I mean, some of these beats are just that Mike Jones, Paul Wall, Still Tipping. That beat is stupid, yo. God.
Mike Jones.
Well, again,
so are you sitting here contradicting yourself, sir?
No, I'm saying that as you go through the list, it's not like that there's not beats on there that you'd be like, damn, first of all, I haven't listened to that in a long time, but when it was out, that was a cute, that record is stupid. Yeah. The beats are stupid, but again, could have been when you're doing lazy journalism, you know what I mean? You just throwing cats in the pile. You know, some of these beats can be elevated if you're saying the beats from, you know, from 2000 to 2010, and then you elevate the purity of the beats. And if you want to give the producers a shout out or whatever, you can do that. But, you know.
They didn't do it the right way.
Look. You say what you want, Kurt G. This is for you.
Oh, shit.
At number 82. Okay, Migos featuring Drake for Versace remix. You tell me about that shit, nigga. That shit sound like gas to me, but you tell me about it, G.
Versace. That shit was on fire when it did come out.
Okay,
though.
See, that's what I'm saying. Fire.
Because of your boy, though?
Nah, that was hot before he jumped on me.
Okay.
Migos had a moment, man.
They definitely had a moment.
Whatever you think of them, they had a moment, man.
No doubt. I'm not denying that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm going through the list and I'm like, I'm surprised. There are names on the list that I'm shocked the Beat Nuts made the list.
Which one?
Off the Books.
That's Off the Books, ain't it?
No.
Off the Books this year.
Yep.
Okay, that's that one.
Yeah.
Off the Books this year.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I'm shocked they made the list.
You better start reading. You might start liking the article.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I think he does, bro. He low-key like it.
No, I'm just saying, as you go through the list, I think you'll be shocked because it is complex, you know, which, let me tell you a beat that should be higher. Should be way higher. Definitely top 20. J. Rudy Damager, Come Clean.
Yes. On my list, that would have made the top 10. My top 10 list, that Come Clean with beat just was crazy. I remember exactly where I was at when that song came out.
Mm.
I was on a reserve during that time when that song came out. I was doing my 2 weeks, and I was in New Orleans because our damn captain at the time, that over our unit, that nigga was a party animal, and he wanted to get there during Mardi Gras. And he was like, he was trying to find anything in New Orleans during that time that we could go to, and he got us there. Booked us hotels on the damn strip and everything.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, long story short, my alarm was set. When it went off that morning, I heard boop, doop, 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 doop. I was like, what the fuck? I thought that was the way the alarm was going off. I think that was the alarm sound, not the song itself. I thought that was the alarm. Then it kept on playing. I was like, $100, what? Jump up and get. I'm like, what the fuck? Who is this? Yeah. I was searching. I'm going to the record store. Like, you know this song? $100, what? Jump up and get. Boop, boop, boop. Nigga, like, oh, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. I got back up this way. I got back and I said, yo, what song is that? He was like, that's J. Rue the Damager. Come Clean, produced by Primo. I was like, DJ Premier produced that? Oh, shit. that shit had me gone.
All right, so I'm going to
wait. Before we get off that, I'm just asking, this shit popped into my head, is It Takes Two on there?
I didn't see that, but I was just scrolling through real quick. I didn't see that.
It Takes Two
that.
Is definitely on there, B, somewhere. Okay. You probably missed
it. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure I did.
As big as that record was,
I wanted
it
to,
still is, will get grandma off her chair. That song will get grandma off the chair for a second.
That song is like, it transcends the generations, too.
Yeah.
Like,
it's got to be on there somewhere.
I just want to get out on the last joint on the list. I want to get out on 100.
Okay.
Keith Chief, I don't like.
That was a big record.
Is that even a fucking beat, though?
That was a big record, B. That beat was fucking crazy, yo. The bass in that shit was nuts.
It was bass.
That shit was nuts, B.
So, yeah. So, wow. I mean, look, I tell you what. It is... Complex does do, and we'll get you talking, you know what I'm saying? And I like to thank Cookbook, you know, for the accurate description. I am an old-ass fogey who gonna call niggas out on their lack of knowledge every time. And not because I'm trying to embarrass, but I'm just saying, look, son, get up. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying you got to like the records, but I'm saying you better get up. Because no respecting jazz musician is going to be like, oh, that Louis Armstrong shit, I don't really... They just going to just show respect. So.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right. So, next topic on the Hip Hop Dodge is a personal topic.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. Maybe two. Was it last week? I think it was last week. Yes, last Tuesday. The BTS Circus came through.
You had the BTS Jimin.
Yeah, BTS Circus came through and shit. So I drove my daughter up to M&T and shit and B-more and shit. And just to let you know how fast you can, and maybe Cookbook is already doing this with his kids. Don't know hood. As I'm going through B-more the back way, because I came a 29 swerve, dipped in 40 on Edmonston Avenue. The hood.
West side.
But that's the wire for anybody who really want to know what time it is. Swerve know what time it is.
Yes, coming sir. Down cameras through. Cameras everywhere.
Yeah. That's the wire. My daughter was in the back seat with her eyes big as saucers. And Olive is grown, but Olive ain't never seen hood. And I really, for the first time, realized that. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good thing. That is a good thing.
And I mean, she saw it all. Dilapidated housing, drug fiends. I mean, open drug fiends. The whole corner boys. I mean, B-more ain't changed not one goddamn bit. You know what I mean?
Just nothing. The harbor.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
And I was going through there today myself. No, the east side, that was.
Prop Joe.
I was on that side rolling through. Man, yeah.
So
they brought back old school memory. I was like, damn, I'm riding through this bitch and I ain't got nothing on me. This ain't, I'm naked over this motherfucker. It is terrible.
So, but anyway, but yes. So the fact that my daughter was in a culture shock because she's seen B-more hood. Yeah. I get to the, you know, close to the stadium and BTS. It's pretty amazing. I'm going to be honest with you. It's pretty amazing, yo. Again, as for a Korean boy band, is pretty amazing because it was really the United Nations out there. Indian broads, black, white, you know what I mean? They all rocking the heavy BTS jerseys, the little lights that they do in the concert zone. I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know? 100,000 sold out both nights, 100K, you know what I mean? Yo, I don't know, son. We talk about this, talk about these rappers and shit doing stadiums and shit. I don't know, yo. BTS, yo.
That's
a different type of number that they do. That's a different
type. Yeah, we brought
up
the other genres, the Taylors and them, definitely bring
BTS
those numbers
is
out
worldwide.
Yeah, but to actually, because the last time, you know, when I went to the concert, I didn't go to the concert. I just drove to Queens.
He fronting. He went.
He was outside with the BTS jersey on and everything. had a hairstyle, had the wig on and everything.
So anyway, but no doubt. So, I mean, even then, it was just a BTS affiliate. But, you know, the same thing, the United Nations of all kinds of people or whatever, you know, grandmas being rolled in with wheelchairs or BTS Joan on, African-American grandmas, too. It's pretty amazing. And to me, I'm saying that to say is amazed as, or as, I ain't gonna say Olive was shell-shocked, but not seeing the hood. But I'm seeing this and I'm seeing true multicultural right there, Korean boy band on stage and every color you can think of in the audience. Yeah, that's where the nation really is. You know what I mean?
Well, but the thing is, you don't get that when you're thinking about politics. You would think with that type of diversity, if that voice was actually the voice of America and not the voice that being shown to us and the voice that they want us to listen to all the time, that diversity, that diverse voice of either you're on the left or you're on the right, type of voice, whether in that multicultural of let's just get together and let's just enjoy what we are as people. That's euphoria at a high level if you could actually do that. Mm. But it only happens at certain events like a concert.
Well, yeah, dude, but that's the thing about music. Music has always been such a unifying factor. Like, when it hits everybody. You know what I mean? And like, that's one of the things that I love so much about hip hop and growing up in hip hop is like, as a genre that really, you know, I'd say like the 90s and the early 2000s, there was like, it really was a unifying thing. Like worldwide, people had such love and respect and reverence for the music that it became such a unifying thing. And I think music in general does that.
Mm-mm, no doubt. Oh, there's no doubt about that. Definitely no doubt about that. So
music can unite and it can also divide.
Well, that's like everything. Yeah, for sure. I mean,
just saying. All right. But them cats from over there, they got it on lock though, worldwide. Not just here. Wherever they go, their shows are like that.
Oh, yeah. 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 So I have to say, it was a pretty, you know what I'm saying? And you know, it was pretty interesting people watching or whatever from watching my daughter, you know, like, damn, what's this shit, you know, that we riding through?
Yeah. I'm going to make a proposal real quick. I'm going to make a proposal because you always dropping your daughter off at them shows. I think one time you should just go with her, B, and come back and give us a report.
He might enjoy it. He'd be in there be like, yo, son, let me tell you about that new BTS joint, son. That shit crazy. Y'all niggas don't know nothing about this.
Hey, killer.
Yo.
You know what? You was talking about your daughter like that, and I've run my boys through like the hood I grew up in and stuff. But that's my hood has changed a lot. It's not like how you just described Baltimore. But where I can relate, you know, my wife and I both grew up in the same neighborhood, and we always talk about like, man, these kids don't know shit about like the type of shit we saw, the type of shit we was going through. You know, and the first time I came out to Texas to bring a bunch of my stuff, you know, I brought my older boy. He was 10 at the time. So it was time like a lot of father-son talks on a long road. And I started sharing with him like how I grew up and like the shit I went through. And the little dude started crying. And I was like, why are you crying? And he was just like, Papa, I'm so sorry that you had to go through all that. And it's funny because I was like, nah. I was like, I was around a lot of gang shit and a lot of wild shit, but I was like, no, I had a, like, I had a great childhood. Like, I love that shit, you know? Like, it's okay, but I was telling them, you know, like, I had to scrap and, you know, just different gang shit that, you know, just stuff that we've been through. And he did, he's has no frame of reference other than what I tell him. So to him, it was like, he was really sad for me. And I was like, to me, it was beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, I had great friends, you know, knew everybody in the hood. You know, I knew who had my back and shit, so I could talk shit when I needed to, you know. But it's interesting. It's like a good and bad thing. Like, I feel very equipped because I'm street smart and I know how to hustle, you know, through life. So my kids don't have that, but they also don't have that, the negative aspect of it. Like, I was around some shit, you know what I mean? Like, growing up, and that they'll never know that. And that's the goal, though, as a parent, right?
Yeah, and you know what? And I feel you, because it's like, but sometimes, and I question myself, you know, sometimes I wonder if we've done our kids a favor, you know, by that, you know, because you're right. I'm taking you, you know, at your word. I know how Swerve and Kurt G grew up, because we kind of, you know, we grew up together.
There is a
lesson in that, in hood, you know what I mean? And you are better equipped in this world by learning those lessons.
Yep.
So sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I think, man, I wonder if I've really done, you know, my kids a favor.
I look at it both sides of that. Because I look at the side of where you're saying, okay, these kids is not street smart in any kind of fucking way. They will get taken advantage of. If they ever got ran up on some real hood niggas, they're going to get taken advantage of. Because they don't know, they're not street savvy at all. But also, when you look at the street shit and you look at what these street kids go through and some of these hood niggas go through, you're like, I'm glad my child don't have to deal with that shit. Because this hood done changed from when we was younger. The hood shit that we went through ain't nothing compared to the shit that these little niggas is shooting at 5 and 6 years old. Like, these niggas is really fucking getting younger and younger with guns in their hands. Like, really? This shit's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to drop my kid off in the hood and be like, yo, come back when you're street smart. You need this lesson.
That's throwing meat to a lion. That ain't happening.
Yeah, man, we're not doing that. Like, figure it out, young homie.
That's that movie shit.
But that's what's up, man. I, you know, saying, I just wanted to drop that that little nugget right there and whatnot.
Shout out to Olive. She didn't have to deal with she didn't have no clue what the hell this was. And said, Dad, what are you doing here?
What is this?
Is something
this?
You want to tell me, Dad? Do you have a habit? Are you coming down here to get something?
Was like, how you know your way around here?
Because the hood ain't changed.
That's for sure.
It definitely didn't gentrify that area. Jeez.
Nah, that's for sure.
Shit done just got worse over time.
So we got the guest. We got the homie Cookbook on the show. And he want to plug something and whatnot. We gonna give him the opportunity to be the plug tonight.
Oh, thank you, man. Well, you know what? Y'all know I'm from a crew called LA Symphony.
And, yes, sir.
You know, our fans been trying to get us to do a group album for a long time. The last one we did was in 2014. And I told them, look, the best we could do for you is a bunch of duo acts. So we got all, like, we're crewing up as duos doing albums. So I did an album with my boy Joy the Jerk from LA Symphony. And he named the crew OP, which is like, speaking of young dudes, it's a gamer term where it's like overpowered. So it's just like some braggadocious, like, we the dopest. Another way of just saying we the dopest, you know. It's cool because you know, E Green, you remember when I, once upon a time when I was pretending like my last album was going to be Jason Soto was here.
And when I told you that shit was not going to happen.
And I've done like 5 albums since then. But in all honesty, they've all been like compilations or duos. So I haven't done another Cookbook solo record. I'm just saying.
You're right.
But I'm real proud of this because I haven't done an album with my beats. in a while. And so this album, there's only one beat that I didn't do. I did the rest of the album. And I'm super proud of that. And I think both me and Joey the Jerk are just, you know, barring out. We wrote good songs. And one of the things I love, so I love like the brotherhood of LA Symphony. You know, like just like how y'all clown on the Hip Hop Digest because you guys are brothers. You've been around each other so long. That's how we are in the LA Symphony. And especially me and Joey, we got like a special relationship. You know what I mean? Pause. No, I'm saying. but like I had two goals. One, obviously to make as dope of music as I can make. But the second thing I wanted to show like the friendship, the relationship, like kind of the comedy, the way that him and I are together. So what I would do, like I would be recording his verses, right? Like we were recording the songs, and then I would just like he would think I push stop, but I would keep recording, but the beat would be off, and then I'd just start talking to him and I'd egg him on and get him going, and then you know then that natural like humor between the two of us start coming out. So there's so many great skits and stuff, and I'm proud that like. When you listen to it, you get like a sense of who we are. You don't just hear rap songs. You hear like, you know how like I thought of it like De La Soul. Those first few albums, the skits were crazy. You know, you didn't always listen to them at like third, fourth, fifth, sixth time listen to the album. You might start skipping the skits. But when you first heard them, you're like, I didn't know who these dudes were. And I heard Me, Myself, and I, and that song is dope. And it kind of gave me an idea. But once you hear the skits, you like, know them. You're like, oh, these fools are clowns. This is how they do this. You know what I mean? And that's what I tried. And I feel real proud that I was able to accomplish that with this album too, man.
Well, let me say that maybe some people didn't listen to it, but when it showed up on the text chain, I immediately went to it.
Oh, cool.
And I was drawn in. All right. I was drawn in by one particular track. Track two, Left Right,
yeah,
is absolutely fire.
Oh, thank you, man.
It's fire for a lot of different reasons, but well, shout to you, the production. Damn, that's you.
That's me.
I'm not worthy. I didn't know. All right. But see, what we missing in a lot of times in hip hop is just a pure ass. Intellectual niggas don't have to be dumb all the fucking time. You know what I mean? And I'm a politico, and these niggas will tell you. And that left, right, oh, nigga, motherfucker, he said, I'm out here trying to make Texas blue. I was like, my man, my man.
Are you on the right side of history, Cook?
I guess so.
I wonder, first of all, I got to be honest with you, that is my favorite joint on there, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I am a politico like that, and I was thoroughly impressed by, you know, again, like I said, shout out to you, the beat, but the intelligence. I was like, damn, yo, niggas can be smart and perceptive and be about their community and the whole shit and not corny. It's nothing corny about that. The record is excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate that too, man. I'm glad you caught that, man. I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah,
bro.
So that's my favorite joint on there. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But I will say, you know what I mean, if I put you on a standard 10 tracks, 30 minutes.
I know.
If I put you on the standard.
He said the new standard.
we recorded, there's seven other songs on the laptop right now that we had trouble cutting it down to this, man. So we're just gonna release another EP after this and just release them songs, and maybe that'll be more to your, you know, 7-8 songs. That might be a little tighter.
Killer be having shit to do.
but
on attention span.
Yeah, but on it for real, I you know what I'm saying. When it showed up on the text chain, I did listen to the joint and whatnot. And I
Thank
was
you,
listening
man.
To it, and I was like, okay, all right. I mean, obviously, I stated which one was my favorite joint, but there is a plethora, you know, of good music on there.
Thank you, man.
definitely, I really, man, I usually when I collect at the end of the year and we do our top tens or whatever, whatever,
yep.
I definitely left right was so impressive that I can honestly say in my top 10 jams, just a single, and left right crazy to me. But that's me, and because I'm a political, that appealed to me. It's something awful. So I can't thank you enough.
Oh, okay, cool, man. That's what's up. I like that, man.
And Cook, you know you're one of my favorite people on earth. Yep. You know that. And also, you know, I'll just put it out here. We had to put Kanye down last week. So when I haven't listened to a lot of stuff. Yes, I did look at the Ransom album releasing, and that's how I knew there was how many songs and 59 minutes. But I haven't had a chance to, like, really breathe. Killer, also, while we in this moment, I thank you for calling me. You know I couldn't talk.
Yeah, of course.
You could tell.
Yeah, no doubt. Really, yeah.
I couldn't really have a conversation. So, Cook, I'm just saying all to say, don't stop sending me stuff.
Wait, look it, man. I mean, you let us know, too, and I knew what was going down. Imagine me being like, hey, nigga, what about my album, though, nigga? What's up? Like, I know you're dogging all, but, like, come on, man. It's all.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shout out to Kanye Green. Kanye Green.
Salute.
Shout out to Kanye.
With a C,
yes,
not a K.
Yeah. I haven't had a relationship like that, you know. I don't have animals, family members. I don't, you know, but between your big ass lap dog, who, because that's all he was, and shit, you know what I mean? Yep.
He looked menacing, but he was not.
Nah, man, motherfucker, he put his heavy ass body on your shin, and you gonna know it. So, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, Tommy, another big ass lap dog.
Yeah.
You know, damn, you know, I'm sorry about that, B. I know you was really struggling, you know.
Yep, I'm still struggling, so I just wanted to say that so we can move back to Cookbooks album before I have to get off this call, because it's still that.
I figured that. That's why there wasn't even no calls or nothing last week about, are we going to get in on the show? I was like, nah, we ain't doing that this week. Ain't no show happening.
Yeah, I could not, because last week was the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happened. I was definitely not going to be able to have a conversation.
Yeah, no doubt. And two, you know, and actually, because I'm looking at the joints that I remember, another joint that was really kind of witty was that Ultimate Dad Rap. And so, yeah, you can call me a dinosaur, but you was rocking a couple of dinosaur scales yourself with that Ultimate Dad Rap.
I was. Let me tell you what the story was behind that too. My idea for that was like exactly like, you know, like we talking about, like an old dad facing his kids, and like you kind of want to be like, fuck you, young nigga, I'm always gonna be doper than you. And that's kind of what we're trying to do in that song, like almost like we battling our kids, like oh, you do that, what you know about me doing this. And so that was, I actually freestyled that verse, like not all at once but in chunks, because I thought, like, to get the personality across, like I didn't want to just be trying to write and bar out, I just wanted to like get the emotion of it, you know, like clowning around and stuff, and like I'm talking to my kids. And sometimes I talk to my kids like that, like clowning them, you know, like, man, you don't know nothing about this, that kind of thing. And that was how I was trying to do that. So that was a fun song.
So you know shout out to you. I want to suggest, thanks, you know, the Hip Digest members, you know what I'm saying, get into
it
a little bit.
The Hip Digest, my G.
Huh?
The fuck is the Hip Digest?
His hip went out.
It's the Hip Digest, nigga. Nigga, it's a book about people with that have bad hips.
So anyway, I want to tell people on the text chain, you know what I'm saying, and to those who are listening, get into it. You know what I mean? Because it is really, it's a good record. It's not, you know what I'm saying? And I don't say that lightly. Of course, you know, I put him on the standard. Yeah, I had to put him on the standard. But that aside, you know, I was going to give you a shout out, which the joints I was feeling.
Thanks, bro. I just got to make it shorter albums, man. I got that.
There you go.
See, you got to look at the positive side of it. Yeah. If you got 20 records, instead of having to break it down to 10, you can do two albums.
But listen, it sounded like he was having trouble trying to pick those to get on it. So, yeah. And I understand that.
But I'm going to say it like this, dude. I also, I don't know if you guys are up on my Portlandula series, but I got.
Oh, with Sherbert.
Me and Sherbert, Portlandula 3, and we had so many hot songs that Sherbert was like, I'm the producer, I'm making the decision. We splitting it in half. We got Portlandula 3 and Portlandula 4 so that the album ain't too long and we don't lose them dope songs. So now we got two hot EPs that are going to drop at the end of the year. And I'm very proud of that one too, man. Ooh, wee.
Oh,
right. You guys here with Sherbert.
All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said, I'm, boy, again, you know, I guess Cookbook, I didn't really realize. I knew you did beats, but I didn't really, really realize, you know, I guess until I listened to this record, I was like, God damn, okay. All right. I was sleeping. I was asleep at the wheel.
It's all good. Hey, it's all good, my man. It's all good. Don't even worry about it, man.
No doubt. All right, Kerr G. Swervy, you got anything?
Let me see. I probably ain't got nothing, but I'm going to check to make sure to see if my list is up to date.
Okay, see.
While he's doing that, I'm going to tell the listeners to get on Cookbook. Reach out to him on all of his social media and tell him that y'all need him to bring Felipe's Garage back.
Hey, here we go.
Bring that beat back. Bring that
you
beat back.
You thought I was going to let that slide?
Oh, man. You know I'm out here raising kids, right?
Come on, right. I'm out here doing life.
Oh, we not. Our kids grown now. Sorry. Yeah, I know. We all three of us over here got grands. Hey, yeah, man. Me and Kirk, the new ones on the block, though.
Yes,
yeah,
sir. Yeah. I'm the new and the latest pop out here. Yeah, y'all.
There you go.
Yeah, y'all slow.
You just get them drop offs. Like,
oh,
tomorrow, I'll see. We're gonna come get him in a couple of hours. I got these kids with me every day.
Mm. Yeah, he just dropped her off.
See?
Wow. Well, Adonis and Shane dropping off Amari no time soon. Well, they'll be here in a couple of weeks, but they will not be dropping off nothing. Not because I don't want them to, because they are new parents, first time parents, so they are doing what they do, and I ain't mad at it, because I'll be here whenever it's time.
That's what's up. All right, so we're ready for the Digital Freaks hours of the week.
Yes, sir, I'm ready.
What's time, Kurt?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I felt that bus coming up on me quick. I said,
he already killed me early.
Headlights was hot. Nah. I said, shit.
Yo, nigga, I thought I gave you a nice landing spot.
There was a halogens.
Oh, you talking about him, not me, right? Because you definitely backed up over me.
He came at you with both barrels smoking earlier. Oh, I said, God,
I'm like, good Lord, Luke, don't be mad at me, brother.
Yep. All right, this week brought to you by them brothers from the text chain. We got Doppelgangers Beats for Brothels Volume 4. Doppelgangers Beats for Brothels Volume 4 is brought to you by Pete. Then brought to you by Matt is Primo Jab Standing on Business. That's Primo Jab Standing on Business.
Yo, shout to Pete. Heard from Pete. Long time. He showed up, popped up on the text chain for a hot second. So shout to him.
Shout out to
Pete. He came back because it was too much 38 Spence talking. Sad talking.
He had to defend his man.
Yeah, he had to come represent.
Yeah, no doubt.
His man just, it got to the point. You know how when you you dig in like a tick on some shit and then you just got to stand on it? You just got to stand on it just because? When you could have just got out of it a little bit easier if you had just backed off sooner and been like, you know what, my bad. I shouldn't have came at the veteran like that. I should have just, you know what, I was in my feelings a little bit because he didn't do a record with me. But you know what, we good now. Nah, that nigga dug in and started dissing everybody.
Yeah. Well, all right, that's what's up with that. So before we get out, Cookbook, run the title of the LP one more time. Let everybody know.
It's called OP. That's it. OP. The album and the group are called OP. Right now, it's only on Bandcamp. So that's justusmovement.bandcamp.com. But even easier, just hit me on the socials. I'm Cookbook the PR, as in Puerto Rican. Cookbook the PR everywhere. All socials. Hit me up, and the links are all over my socials, man. We got a hot single out called Done Did It Again. The video's out right now. It's hot. Shot by my man Nesto. Shout out to my
Shout
man
out to Nesto.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah, man. And so, yeah, it's out right now. We got the next single is going to be Smash and Grab coming out. Maybe we might need to rethink that and put our, you know, right, left, maybe.
I don't know.
It's getting that time. November's coming up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, maybe it's time to put that one out. I don't know. But anyway, it's out there. Hit me up at Cookbook the PR everywhere.
That's what's up. All right, so if nobody else got anything, you know how we do. We just do
Hey, Luke. We mess with you, man. Hey, y'all tripping, but you know he has responded to some, I think when we were doing Twitter, he responded on there during that first term and from your boy.
Hey, that's okay.
He responded to you and he asked you for some money for his campaign.
Hey, hey Luke, I got too much of Skywalker vinyl in here. Fall back, playboy.
Skywalker.
I got too much.
Skywalker.
Yes, sir. So
Skywalker vinyl.
You talking about the original?
Yeah, exactly. So
with the feet on the joint.
You got the original ones with my man with the cast on, yo.
Yes, I do.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Both
Why
of them.
Why did he always have a cast though? Like, was his arm really always broken though?
No, he had one of his arms was shorter than the other.
And he had to have a cast. Like, I'm not even dissing. Like, he always had a cast. I thought.
No, I thought he got it. I thought he got into a car accident or something.
Oh, when he had that cast on.
Yeah.
I remember thinking one of his arms or something.
No, that was after his accident.
Yeah, I think that was a car accident. Yeah.
Maybe he didn't always have a cast, but in my mind, every video he had a cast.
Oh wow.
But anyway,
before we get out of here, I'm gonna shoot some homework to everybody. No, it's all good. We just bullshitting at this point.
Just remember, you the first one you gotta do the homework this week though.
You're right. Okay. You're right. But I've already done it several times. So
okay, you already did this one.
I'll be ready. Why do we have so many hip hop groups, duets, or whatever that break up? Why can't hip hop groups stay together?
That's easy.
We ain't got to answer it now.
You sure? You don't want to answer right now?
Nah. That's good for next show, but that's easy.
Yeah. Okay. He says it's easy, but I'll come with some names and be like, oh shit, they broke up too. That's right. So,
first the Fat Boys break up.
Hey, man.
No doubt. All right,
that's
y'all.
It. That's all.
That's what's up. I'll see y'all next time we do it. Peace.
Hey, yo, Cookbook. One.
Yo.
One thing for Cook before I get out here. Eat.
Oh, they're coming back.